Welcome, everybody, to Hidden Guardians Podcast, your only podcast hosted by actual Hidden Guardians. Today, Veg and I have a couple things to talk about. The recent Bungie update for Destiny 2 happened, and we have a little bit of new information. Stuff going down within the game, which is great.
Yay!
These couple months are going to be really boring otherwise. So we have some information to share about that, and we'll talk about it for a little bit, and then after that, we'll talk about other games. Like, I'm wanting to talk about one that I finished recently and would recommend to anybody that has a PS5. To be very honest, it was that good. I'm Outrider. I'm with Venj. Let's get this clown show going here. In the weekly update.
Yeah.
If you cut through like the fluff of it, there's a couple of parts in here that are worth discussing. Basically, and it doesn't even have its own header, but starting on January 30th, so very, very soon, the Riven's Wishes goes live. And these things will provide new weekly pursuits that players can complete to redeem a prize of their choosing from a pool of rewards each week for 6 straight weeks.
Okay. I love prizes.
Okay. It says that the very same day will also kick off the Moments of Triumph 2023. So that'll offer both some in-game and physical Bungie rewards, as well as 30 challenges to honor your last year of achievements. The upcoming Not TWAB will have more details about it, so next show we will go over that. Because, honestly, I would like to know, what are these rewards that we can choose from each week? Is it guaranteed red drop weapons that we don't have completed? I mean, that'd be nice. Is it just going to be exotics? Is it going to be crafting material? Or are they just going to give us glimmer?
At the very least, I'd like it to be like cosmetics, but what do I know?
Oh, no, it can't be cosmetics, man. That costs money.
That's free. That's free for us, you know? That's free.
Oh, so those little ghost projections, that's what you're going to get, right?
Yeah, the stuff that everybody uses all the time. Yes. Jesus.
Yeah, everybody has a ghost projection on, right? Yeah, exactly. All right, so that's kind of cool, though. At least we're going to know more about it, because that was one of the questions we had when they mentioned it, when they said, well, we're pushing the final shape back, and this is what we're doing. Well, that's going to be one of the first answers. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right before it launches, good to know. Coincidentally, Yakuza Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth will come out a couple days before January 30th, so I may not even be able to try some of this stuff. So we'll have to see how this goes. Speaking of things going away, the low glimmer cap of 250,000 glimmer is going away,
which is good,
on January 30th, which apparently is when update 7.3.4 drops. So the Wishes, Moments of Triumph, this change, it's doubling, so you're going to have up to 500,000 glimmer available.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. You have more glimmer to hold on to. I do hope that in retaliation for this, because I feel like this could be a monkey's paw situation again, that we're getting a glimmer increase, that they're going to increase the cost of everything that costs glimmer. I hope that's not the case.
That's exactly what I see happening.
Because, they did change some things for us and then increase the cost of glimmer without raising the cap.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope that they don't raise the glimmer costs again on things. It's like, oh, focusing this costs 5,000 glimmer. Well, now you have 500,000 glimmer. Let's raise that up to 50.
Yeah, that's...
No. Please don't do that.
Glimmer has to have more of a use, I feel like. I mean, now that a lot of the other currency's gone, it definitely has more use, but we'll see if it's a worthwhile change to whatever else they're planning on doing.
It feels like it's always just the secondary currency to get something that you want, though. Like, you have to pay Glimmer and Legendary Shards. Glimmer and this. Glimmer and something else.
Mm-hmm.
Never just buy, like, some world-ending weapon just with Glimmer, you know?
Talk about a crapshoot.
Save 500,000 win, you know, Glimmer, and you get, like, a tactical nuclear launcher or something. I don't know. That'd be kind of cool. Not happy.
That'd be very cool. let's throw out really good ideas that are never.
And it's designed specifically to be used in the Crucible, and it runs on primary ammo. So there you go. Well, let's really enrage people. speaking of enraging people, for the longest time, people were very unhappy that you could not change what your guardian looked like.
Yes.
Once you created your guardian. That was it. And it's been like this since Destiny 1. So 10 years of this. Now, sometime prior to the release of the final shape, there's no release date yet for this. But they're now going to be putting in the ability to change what your guardian's appearance looks like.
Yep.
So, character optimization will go live in an update before the release of the final shape. To do so, you only need to launch Destiny 2, and you'll notice a new option as you hover over your character at the character selection screen. You'll be able to modify the appearance of your guardian anytime without cost or limit the number of changes. Just take into consideration that while you could change the body type, face, head, hair, and markings, it won't be possible to change from one origin to another, so you can't be a human and change to an XO or an Awoken. But yeah, it seems like everything else, body type, face, head, hair, markings, yeah, great. So for those of you that got the Monster Energy tattoo on your face and you've been hiding it for 10 years now, you'll be able to remove it if you want.
So. Oh, I mean, I have that in real life, too. I just wanted really to... I RPG very hard. So
I know you do. But it's the Minnie Mouse tramp stamp that you have that really is like concerning to me.
Okay, we don't have to come on now. One thing at a time here, bud. Lordy.
There's gonna be a March update they mentioned here where they'll also be resetting the Synthweave bounty cap to give everybody more opportunities to customize their look when this feature goes live. The bounty cap is you're gonna have 15 total on hold per character, and you can only earn like what 10 a season?
10 a season, yeah.
Yeah,
per character.
Whatever they're doing, I don't know what that is. Maybe they're just going to get rid of it. I don't know. I'm going to make Paul Tassie happy. Finally, there is the. This is what you'll be voting for as potential Festival of the Lost Armor. The theme this year is good wizards versus evil wizards. Now, I'm not going to lie. They both look good. These production, you know, sketches.
Mm-hmm.
I like them both for different reasons. I think it's almost a foregone conclusion that evil wizards are going to win because the word evil is there.
That tracks. That tracks with the Destiny community as a whole.
Yeah,
so.
It really does. It does. It does. I mean, they only do good when they're like doing charity stuff, so they can't wear good stuff. Again, you know, nice little cosmetic. You get to vote on it. But unlike last time, this is like you vote for basically the block. Do you want good or bad? That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wish it was like, oh, I could vote. I want the good Titan. I want the bad Warlock. I want the normal hunter, so it's the evil hunter, obviously. They're not good. Yeah, we won't know till later this year what the winner is going to be and what the final product is going to look like. Either one should look pretty good. Once again, I really wish that these could be earned in-game through playing and not through purchasing from the Eververse store. But, you know.
Even with Bright Dust, it's still...
It's 6,000 Bright Dust per set.
Yeah, it's still a lot of currency needed.
Yeah. And I'm somebody that is currently sitting on 87,000 Bright Dust.
Jesus Christ. Let me check. I have 23,700.
Yeah. So we've been playing for a long time, but there's been a lot of stuff that there's been times where it's been, I don't have anything to use it on that I want. Mm-hmm. So you just end up holding on to it and you keep earning it. And, you know, that's just kind of how it is. And I am buying stuff here and there. It's like, you know, a new shader comes in, possibly a new emote that's there, or a ship, weapon skin for an exotic weapon I will pick up. Boy, I would really love it if I could get armor sets again for Bright Dust. You know?
Yeah, I that's still a really odd change to move basically all the sets to straight cash.
Well, I mean, they're making money. That's really what it is. It's just it's making money. I kind of understand. All right, so you're going to charge only cash for the Witcher set, only cash for the Assassin's Creed set for those people that really like that. Mm-hmm. They allowed us to use Bright Dust to purchase the Epic Games stuff. And
that was the last one, wasn't it?
That was the only one. And out of the new stuff. And then the Sony stuff came through, and we couldn't even use any Bright Dust on that. The Sony stuff, you know, the company that owns Bungie now.
Yeah, and they're like, if you're using silver, it's actually more silver than it used to be, because now it's 2,000. It used to be 1,500.
It's like $20 a set, and that's $60 for three armor skins if you get one for each class, and I could buy a new video game for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But allegedly, you know, they're. Final Shape comes around, we're going to be seeing some more rewards to reward players, and I don't know what that means. There's also a Riven plushie that if you completed your quest lines and got the Shooting Stars Triumph, I think that's the for the Wish Keeper.
Mm-hmm.
Doing all the stuff for Wish Keeper. You can purchase from the Bungie store a Riven plushie. And when I saw this, it looks like a fat bulldog in a dragon costume.
So you've already bought it, or?
No. 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 My wife and I both looked at it. It's like, yeah, that's kind of funny. It kind of looks like a Frenchie, you know, hiding in an Ahamkara costume, because it's fat, it's roly-poly, and it's got, you know, the Frenchie type ears and all of that. You can see it, but it's like, are we going to buy it? No, we're not spending money on it.
Oh, I didn't look at this very hard. Now that you say that, that is 1,000% what this looks like.
Yeah.
Like a bulldog in a costume. That's...
Yeah.
Now I want to buy it. Thanks. It's
funny. Because the lower half looks like his jowls.
Yep.
I mean, it has, like, the eyes, and there's a lot of eyes. You just kind of, like, ignore most of those, but if you have a Frenchie, the ears sticking up, and it's just got this pot belly, and it looks like its front paws are like out offset a little bit, so it's, you know, kind of stumpy when it sits down and when mm-hmm. it's standing there, and its back legs look like it's obviously gonna waddle. It's got a little waddle, dumpy, waddle, waddle, and I waddle, bet waddle. It doesn't have a tail, so, you know. Can't believe I just said a plushie has a dumpy.
What have you become, sir?
Apparently a parent that doesn't that has reached the zero F stage, because my kid this week has been hell on earth. She has not been nice. And it's like, oh, this is five? Oh, I thought three and two were supposed to be bad. What do you mean? Now five is awful? Oh, God. When does this stop? Oh, we're going to get a brief reprieve maybe at 8. And then it goes into teenagers. Oh, it's like, thank you. This just gets worse.
So many victories for you. I love that for you.
I'm winning nonstop. I love her. I love my family. Don't anybody listening to this, do not mistake me joking around like that as I am unhappy in my life. I'm very happy.
I can't believe you just said what you did. That is crazy. Wow.
Right. So that is the Bungie update for the week.
Welcome to the Not Twab, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's the first one of the year, I suppose.
First one of the year. Yep, this is the first one of the year. So at least there's something in it. The only criticism I really have is the redoing your Guardians look.
Mm-hmm.
This for me, and I did see some form developers that worked with Bungie mention this. It's like, oh, hey, they're finally releasing something as a PR move.
Yeah, I saw that from that was Hippie, I think, that said that. Yeah, I saw
that. That was, and I kind of agree.
It's, yeah, like, no,
this
that,
is a feature
that's
people
absolutely
been asking
what it is.
For. People have been asking for, can we fix what our Guardian looks like since probably day two of Destiny 1 10 years ago?
Yeah, it's not a new request by any means.
Though somebody did ask her, it's like, so why didn't they do it? And she said, flat out resources. That's it.
Yeah.
Apparently now they have the resources to do it because they need good PR. So.
Yay.
But, you know, better late than... No, no, I'm not even going to say better late than never. This was a... you know... It's too late at this point. You know, people are going to enjoy it. Awesome. But this is something that's like, why? We've gone this far without it at this moment. Why? It doesn't matter at this point.
Yeah, especially like I'm pretty sure we've talked about it, but like after the final shape, like it could literally be the day of the final shape will be people's last days ever touching this game.
Yeah, I think when the final mission is done, and I don't mean just the regular campaign mission before the raid goes live. I mean, whatever happens after the raid, because there's rumors that there's, the way that it's going to conclude does not involve you having to complete the raid. There's going to be something after it that people that don't raid be able to do it to get a quote-unquote satisfying ending. I think when that goes down, you're going to see people leave.
Yep.
And there's just no way around it. But, you know, I don't... This is something that it's like, for me, I have no desire to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I care what my Guardian looks like? They've been wearing a helmet now for almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't have a Monster Energy tattoo on my face, so we're good.
Why do we gotta keep bringing that up?
Because that's the only thing I can think of right now. It's just really terrible on you, man. I know you think it looks cool. It's over your one eye, and you think, oh, it makes me look like I have a scar. No, it doesn't.
I need you to grow up and just let me live through that fantasy. Look at this rebel I am.
It's a phase that you're in right now. Oh, my Lord. Glimmer cap. Okay. Yeah, more glimmer, I guess, is good. I'm more interested in knowing what the rewards are going to be for these wishes.
Yeah, I'm very curious about how that's all going to play out. And because it, I mean, I know you said it's six weeks of stuff, right? Six is that weeks. What? It...
Yep, 6 weeks. Yep. So it's going to go through all the way to February into March, and when this concludes in March, then you're going to see Guardian Games kick up.
Yeah.
And then when Guardian Games is over, that new light whatever thing is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then that leads into June. Barring any unforeseen circumstances that they go, whoopsie, we have to push it back till September.
They may, if that was to actually happen, they may as well just cancel the expansion.
They will never cancel the expansion. There's too much money invested in it.
I know. That would just be the goofiest shit in the world.
It would be the goofiest shit in the world, but hey, you know, if it makes a better expansion, it makes a better expansion.
Hmm.
I can't guarantee a lot of the player base is going to be sticking around, though. Or even coming back, because you don't know what's going to be available when that launches. At least in June, it doesn't look like there's a lot that's coming out around then. But, yeah, hopefully. Fingers crossed. There's no more issues, no more delays. I really hope that they're not, like, working people to death right now just to get this to a level that they think is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, it's like nothing should require it to lead to a big crunch for devs. That would just be...
Yeah, I don't even know if there's anything they're going to be able to do that's going to make me go, oh, wow, this is the greatest thing I've ever played. As much as I just want a satisfying conclusion, and satisfying for me. Like, it's like, okay, I just want this to wrap up nice, and yeah, it feels like this was a long journey, but we're now at the end. Great. Okay. I don't need something that's going to make me go, wow, oh my god, I got to play what happens next. Because frankly, we only know three things that are happening next. And none of them really appeal to me. And that's the episodes.
I
think, because they did say they wanted to do like another pseudo showcase closer to June, where they're going to show off some of the newer stuff that they've added and kind of give a little bit more as to what's going down in the expansion, what you can expect out of it. I am hoping that's where they take the reins and go, okay, so because the expansion is like literally next month, this is what happens after the episodes are done.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you can expect. Or at the very least go, okay, so the expansion coming out in June, we're giving you a little bit more look at that and look at some of the episodes, but in August of this year, we're going to talk about what's coming after that. Something they got to do something, you know.
Yeah, there needs to be something for sure.
Yeah, I know they're trying to focus everything on it right now and boost sales as much as possible, but you want to keep this train going, you got to keep telling people what's coming. And
yeah,
but I really do hope that the people that are there are not getting worked to death. I mean, that is like more important to me than the overall quality of what is released. I don't need them on a death march to finish the Final Shape expansion.
Yeah.
Not at all. I don't need that right now. I don't think anybody, they definitely don't need it. I hope they're not doing it. So that's all Destiny.
Yay, Destiny.
So, because I know there we're getting some little bits and pieces of content here and there until the release of the Final Shape. I don't know if it's going to be enough to really tide us over until then. So we're talking about other video games.
And oh, yeah, absolutely.
One of the ones I managed to play, I ended up getting this last Christmas. So Christmas 2022. Okay. It has been sitting in my pile of games that I will eventually get to. And I opened it up finally and played it. And it is called The Pathless. It is by Giant Squid. Published through Annapurna Interactive. Giant Squid, their first game they released was Abzu, if you remember that, on the PlayStation 4. It was the almost kind of like Journey, but underwater. You were playing as a diver. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it was a good game. I think it was available for PS Plus members at one point. A lot of fun. Really, really decent music, good visuals. I like the art style and stuff. The Pathless is their second game.
Okay.
And this was a little bit more ambitious. So not only is it a PlayStation 5 game, so they have used to that technology, but they really kind of went out of their way to give it almost a pseudo open world feel. Mm. And the best way I can describe The Pathless is a very artistic version of a Monster Hunter title. Like an art house Monster Hunter.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the basic premise is you play as the hunter who ends up on this island where you encounter this eagle spirit. It's the great spirit of the island. And it's being corrupted by the god killer. Okay. And you end up freeing the eagle's corruption. The god killer ends up slaying it. And in its place, you find an actual golden eagle that becomes your companion. Kind of like the reincarnation of the great spirit. And you're tasked with going and releasing the spirits of the eagle's children. These five. Four? These four great spirits from their corruption. And in doing so, you bring light back to this island and its various different plateaus that you can go to. And eventually work your way to where the god killer is and are strong enough to fight it. There's a lot of puzzles in this game. There's a lot of open world traversal. What I like about the traversal is, yeah, you can walk, you can run, you have a stamina bar. But as you're running, there's like these targets that you'll see floating around. If you target one and shoot it with your bow, you gain stamina back in a burst of speed. So you can really start comboing stuff, even in the air, and get this really funky movement going where you're racing around very quickly, doing trick shots in the air. Eventually, your eagle starts getting, the more you work with it and start doing stuff, the eagle starts getting more powerful and can grab onto you, and you can glide with it. It can end up like thrusting up into the air, so it pulls you up further and higher into the sky. A bunch of things you could do with the eagle. Also helps you out solving puzzles throughout the world. And there's a lot of puzzles. And there really isn't any enemies in it except for the spirits that you have to deal with, the corrupted spirits. So you're moving around in the environment, and when you enter into each new biome, so to speak, each new plateau of this island, you'll see this like large red sphere of energy that'll appear. And once in a while, it'll start moving around. If you get too close to it, you'll start seeing like waves of power kind of rippling out of it. And if you get caught into those ripples, the spear starts moving towards you and it starts picking up speed, and eventually it'll overtake you if you don't get away. And once that happens, you're now in the area of the cursed beast, and it separates you from your eagle, and you have to kind of play like a stealth mission to get your eagle back. And once that happens, you know, it disperses and you go about your business. Essentially, the goal is you have to collect a certain number of talismans to activate three towers in each of these biomes that restore some light, but also trap the cursed beast in a certain area. When that happens, you enter into the sphere of its domain and chase it down like you're actually hunting an animal. And once you chase it down and wore it down, it goes into a central location somewhere in there where you actually have the boss fight with it.
Oh, cool.
And each of these fights are different. You know, obviously there's going to be weak spots you're going to be shooting at. Some of them involve actually platforming. Some of them involve stealth that you have to navigate around in. Some of it's just brute force. But it's just a lot of fun. And when you complete it, you save the spirit. It brings back light to that particular platform. And you move on to the next one. Or if you're like me, you go and you try to find all the rest of the talismans that are still floating around and cram them into this new statue that appears where you slayed the beast, which allows you to chase the spirit, which is now cleansed, to a point where you end up getting secret abilities to make you and your eagle more powerful.
That's cool.
It is cool. It's actually very cool how the hell they did this. I had such a good time playing this. And just the amount of exploration involved was just satisfying. And it was snappy and quick. And the music was very good. And the visuals are awesome to it. And PS5 had no frame rate issues or stuttering or anything. Graphical tears that I could see. Nothing. It was perfect. Absolutely perfect. And the final battle was incredible. I'm not going to spoil the ending to it, but I will say that if you go like I did and find all those talismans and complete that golden statue, I think it's 9 that remain after you defeat the boss in each area. And so you get all, basically, if you get all the secret bonuses. There's an additional part to the ending after the credits.
Oh, that's cool.
Which will actually answer a question that happens during the ending. The initial ending. It's like, oh, so what happens next? Well, you watch the credits. If you did all that, when the credits are over, you get your answer. It's very well made. Now, I kind of stumbled a little bit when I said that there was 5 of these corrupted beasts. There's only 4. But they're, if you're paying attention to the environment of the Pathless, and there's plenty of like text messages, like you find spirits of people that lived in these lands that have moved on and passed away, and you can communicate with the spirits, and you'll get like bits of information about what's going on. So you'll understand more about who the God Killer is and who the individual spirits of the land are. Well, one of the things I keep mentioning is that the eagle had 5 eggs.
Mm-hmm.
The great eagle spirit had 5 eggs, but there's only 4 children that are corrupted. It means there's one missing, right?
In theory.
Oh, no. There's literally one missing. And there's no achievement or anything tied to it. And that's why I'm bringing this to people's attention, talking about this, is because if you explore, and I mean really search areas in this game, and there's 2 per plateau, you'll start finding these Nautilus shells that you can pick up.
Okay.
And you're on an island, it's like, okay, Nautilus, like, you know, deep sea things. Well, you find 6 of them, you find 8 of them. There's a doorway that you can unlock when you have all 8. And it takes you to where the last of the children are.
Okay.
So you can see the last, and it wasn't corrupted.
Oh.
Yeah, it was hidden away. And what was really neat about it is in the last zone before you go to where the God's killer is, there's statues throughout the island of the different spirits that you're fighting. And one of them, there's a statue that has a broken head. So you don't see the head. It's just like, it's missing. And it's like, okay, well, this one's all right. And here's the eagle. There's one missing its head. So you don't know what it is. If you actually go exploring down on the floor of the mountain, like the base of the mountain into the forest around it, you could find the statue's head.
Oh.
So then you go, it looks like a shark.
Oh.
And then when you find that last spirit, it is a shark. So it's like this spectral shark that's like floating around in its own area. But what made that area kind of special is it's a secret giveaway to, it's like, oh, hey, this is a throwback to Abzu.
Oh, that's cool.
Because in the room, there's like Easter eggs that tie to that game. And in my mind, yeah. I'm going, well, that'd be kind of cool that this is like they're building this world that it changes over time. But it's, you know, Abzu took place first here. Now the Pathless is taking place here. And then their next game coming out, which they're working on right now. What is it called? It is called Sword of the Sea. That Giant Squid Studios is working on.
That's a really cool name.
currently in development for the PS5 and PC. What it says here is surf across the surreal undulating landscapes of the necropolis on a quest to unveil the lost ocean teeming with life and Sword of the Sea. In a world where the terrain flows in waves, ride the hover sword to speed over shifting seas of sand. It controls like a snowboard, a skateboard, and a hoverboard all at once. You are the Wraith, resurrected in a desolate world and tasked to restoring life as you explore submerged ruins and the vibrant various cultures within. Yeah. It says, but beware, this land is also home to massive leviathans that will stand in your way. Oh, fantastic. So you're trying to restore life and stay away from big, scary monsters. So this is everything that they're really good at.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, very, very fun, refreshing experience playing the Pathless, and it's been out for a while, so anybody with like a PS5, I think Pathless might be on PC, but definitely if you have a PS5, find it. You can probably find it new relatively cheaply. Play it. You're gonna be shocked. You're gonna install it. It's gonna be like, oh, what do you mean it's only like 4 gigs? This can't be a PS5 game. No, it's a PS5 game. It's fantastic.
How long did it take you to go all the way through?
Because I got hooked onto it, and it was over the holiday break. I blew through it in a weekend.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think if you just play it casually, and you don't go finding every single secret and trying to solve every single little puzzle in the game that you can, you're going to get through it in about 8 to 10 hours, I think.
Well, that's not too bad.
That's not too bad at all. If you go and explore it and really go hog wild exploring everything, probably around 20. It's still not bad.
It sounds like getting through everything is fairly rewarding, so that's also really cool.
Yeah, it's not like this enormous like cutscene or anything, but it kind of offers a really good cap to the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I also enjoyed that doing the secret stuff, the extra secret stuff, gave you actual bonuses to how you play, like actual abilities when you're playing the game. So I was like, okay, cool. I like this. And one thing about the Pathless is when I'm talking about going back and finding all the rest of the those emblems to cram into the statue, the golden statue, there's no indication that that happens. You do not get told that when you complete the stage, you select you to and you head off to again into it and follow it up and then move on. The game doesn't tell you, oh, hey, maybe you should stick around in the place you just cleansed and explore it further.
Interesting. You
know? Yeah. It's as rewarding as you want it to be. And if you just want to play it straight through, I think you're going to have a good time. If you want to go through and meticulously do every triumph, trying to do all the puzzles, trying to expand your knowledge as to what's happening by finding all the little story elements through the various spirits you can talk to, etc. and so on, you're really going to get more out of this game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all there, and it's just available for you to explore it. Unlike, say, some of the Ubisoft games that people make fun of that have like a million quest markers and item markers on a map,
This
doesn't. You just do it. And you explore it at your own pace. And there's no map either in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So you're literally out in the wilds. I mean, when they call it the pathless, there is no direct path for you. You are forging your own. So
that's cool.
Really, really, really cool game. Loved it a lot. It is rated E, so anybody can play it. If you have little kids or anything, they can sit there and hang out and watch you do it. My daughter did. She enjoyed watching me take down the big monsters and then saving them. She really enjoyed that. She liked the eagle, too. She really liked the eagle.
Mm-hmm.
Very good game. Very good game. Highly recommend it if you have a PS5.
That sounds dope.
Oh, it's dope. Anybody that's got a PS5, get it. It's a good time to play. And if you're a fan of Abzu, if you were a fan of Journey, which wasn't by Giant Squid, but those type of kind of artistic experiences that are different, silent protagonist, obviously.
Yeah.
It's in that same vein, but just very rewarding to go through. Obviously, next time, you know, I'm probably going to be. If I'm not playing it, I'm going to be very close to playing Yakuza Wealth. So there might be talk about that. I think next time I might go on a tear about Power Wash Simulator.
Sure.
Hey, that's one of the best games to come out.
I it's in my library and I have not actually installed the game or tried it, but
install it and get the free DLCs that are for Final Fantasy VII and Tomb Raider.
What?
Uh-huh.
What a weird pairing of things.
No. It gets weirder because that's the free DLCs. There's paid DLCs as well. One of the paid ones is for SpongeBob SquarePants. More recent one is for Back to the Future. And I know it was already announced, but they're still working on it. But sometime this year, they're coming out with a Warhammer 40,000.
What the hell?
DLC expansion for this.
I mean, those places get dirty too, I suppose. You know, you got to make sure everything's clean.
Yeah, they do. And they actually had a free one for Santa's workshop over Christmas. So you can clean Santa's workshop, which is amusing. The game is just wonderfully weird. You think it's just this, I go from place to place and clean stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up at Old Mother Hubbard's house. You know, Old Mother Hubbard lives. Shoe. She had so many children. She didn't know what to do. Yeah, it's a giant shoe house that you're cleaning. It's like, how the hell does this exist in reality? I mean, it gets weird, but as you play through it on the literal campaign mode, it makes sense as to why it gets weird by the end of it. Because there's a story to Power Wash Simulator.
That's goofy as hell.
Yeah. 100% goofy as hell. And it easily one of the most enjoyable games I've played. And it's very relaxing to play the game. And that actually was a problem I had with the game. Because I would play it sometimes with headphones on at night when my kid and my wife were asleep. And I didn't want to disturb them from the sound of a power washer going off in our, you know, living room.
Yeah.
Well, the sound of the power washer droning, it's like ASMR, and I'm like... So I'm not falling asleep because I think the game is boring. I fell asleep because it was so soothing to do this that it just put me out.
That's funny.
It's funny. I highly recommend Power Wash Simulator. You already have it because it was free for PlayStation. Anybody that had it on free for PlayStation have not taking the plunge. Do so. It's great. One caveat is I've had crashes on the PlayStation 5 for it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it has crashed quite a bit of times for me. And the one triumph, the one trophy for completing the campaign is not unlocking if you do complete the campaign.
Oh.
They are aware of it. They're trying to work on it. Apparently, there is something very wrong that's causing it to go down that way. But bugs aside, and I'm not normally one to go, well, you know, I can overlook like the jank and the bugginess sometimes really annoys the hell out of me in class my experience. No. Bugs aside, crashes aside, I enjoyed Power Wash Simulator.
Mm-hmm.
It's so dumb. It's worth every dumb second you can put into it. It's so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I have a sense of accomplishment for cleaning this guy's bungalow. It's like, I'm just in a video game doing this shit, but I feel like I did something. You know? It's like, what the hell?
Feels like you were productive for a couple hours.
Yes, it actually felt like, you know, in this game, the grime is real. You know, it's not the grind, it's the grime. You're getting rid of the grime on everything. And it just felt satisfying to clean up. And some of the places that I had to spray down and clean up, I think would go faster if you had, like, a mouse and keyboard, obviously. But, well, the controller worked pretty well. But, like, there's like a skate park. Yes, a skate park that I had to go do, and I ended up doing it over 2 days because it was so big. It's like, oh god, I've been working on this for like 2 hours. All right, I'm gonna take a break. I was like, okay, because I'm being meticulous. I'm trying to clean every little bit off.
Yeah,
so I get 100%. And you'll want to get 100% in this game. Yeah, it's a good time. Do you have any games you want to talk about? Games you might want to talk about in the future?
I don't know. I recently, like 3 or 4 weeks ago, I guess, got back into Fortnite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I know the no build has been out. It's been out for a long time at this point, but it's very fun. And it like there's obviously still people that are, you know, cracked as hell at the game, but it's very fun. There's a lot of like assets that people have access to, and they're like making a bunch of their own maps and stuff like that for like different mini games.
Okay.
Which is really fun. I played one last night that the whole point is leveling up so you can earn gold from killing zombies, so you can buy better weapons, so that you can defeat this serpent boss.
Okay.
And there's 3 different tiers to it. It starts at like 20,000 health, and I think the top one, it was like 90,000 health for like the hardest boss.
Okay.
Like the boss tier. And I wasn't on, I had to stop because it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, but Like there's been some that are really fun to play, like party games with other people, with some friends, like Capture the Flag. There's a lot of different mini games, like people have created little horror games within like everything.
Right.
And those are fun. Some of the jump scares are like, you know, they get you.
And then you have like the new stuff that they've added in directly, like the Lego Fortnite and
Fortnite racing.
And
I have not gotten into. Yeah, I haven't gotten into either of those. That's not true. I haven't done the racing. I have a couple of things in the game because I have played Rocket League, so I do have some of like the cars and stuff that you can get. But I haven't actually done any of the racing. I logged into the Lego Fortnite, and it was just, I don't know. It feels like it would be something that's more fun to play with other people and not just, you know, going about yourself.
Yeah, because that's like a survival mode.
Yeah, survival, you have to, there's a lot of other building and, you know, like you have to stay out of the cold. You have to make sure you eat food, stuff like that.
Well, you can actually adjust that. So you can go into the menus for that and turn that off if you don't want it.
Yeah, you can just have it be purely a sandbox thing too, which is cool.
And then that's, you know, quality of life stuff for people not quality of life, I want to say accessibility things. Some people don't like that stuff. Some kids might be too young to get the mechanics of a survival game where they have to eat all the time and stay away from the cold, and they just want to run around and play as Lego people. So you turn that stuff off. But just really quick, you mentioned Rocket League. Those are the people that they collaborated with to make the racing game, much like Lego collaborated to do the survival thing, and Harmonix collaborated to do the rhythm game that's in Fortnite.
Yeah, but I mean, so I don't think, I can't remember if Epic owns Psyonix, but they own Harmonix now. So like that one was easy for them. That's okay. It's a little bit weird because it's, you know, you can either use a keyboard or you can use your controller. And like on a PlayStation controller, like easy and medium, it's left on the D-pad, right on the D-pad, square and circle. And when you go to hard or expert, it adds in triangle. And it's a little tough to like actually remember the whole, like keeping track of the buttons, especially when it does, you know, when it goes faster or something like that. It's still fun, like the music they have in there. There's a good amount of free songs. You can also, you know, buy songs that you can have play as, like stuff you can play in the festival mode, or I think you can have them as like your menu music too.
That's cool.
So yeah, Fortnite's been a lot of fun. I actually last night got my first solo win since in probably like 4 years.
Wow.
So Fortnite's been fun.
That's where you dropped in, and it was just a whole bunch of bots on the map, right?
I will say, in like regardless of where you're at, there is so many bots in the game. Like there's literally hundreds of thousands of people playing the game, and there's still like legitimately there's a lot of bots still in the game.
I guess it's just to kind of flesh things out.
Yeah, I don't know.
By the way, yes, Epic is the parent company for Harmonix.
Yeah, that because they bought them out not too long ago.
2021. That's when it
happened. I can't remember if they did anything with Psyonix or not. For like the Rocket League stuff, but I know that's just feels like an easy collaboration for them to do with just like cars in the game, like in the Battle Royale and stuff, but also with the racing and all that.
Again, yes, Epic owns them. They bought them in 2019.
Oh wow. Okay. See, I wasn't sure about that. But
yeah,
that tracks.
So I'm looking it up. It's like, nope. Epic's just using who they have to pump Fortnite up, and hey, more power to them. I think that's a cool move on their part to bring that stuff in. Looks awesome.
Well, and it's so wild because, like, I feel like in, like, recent months, Fortnite has had a pretty big, like, resurgence.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, one of my friends that I've been playing with, she used to be really, really big in, like, Apex. She was, mm-hmm. she's really good at shooters. But she recently got into Fortnite, and she kind of makes me think of myself when I first started playing Fortnite, because she spends a lot of money on skins and emotes and stuff. And I had that problem really bad in the first, like, year and a half when Fortnite was big.
I bought the dinosaur skin, the green dinosaur costume.
Oh, I have so many. It's a little much, but I haven't actually spent money on the game. I earn all my V-Bucks and stuff in the Save the World, mm-hmm. and then I take them and buy the Battle Pass and whatnot. What else? I did go through and play a game called We Were Here.
Okay.
The game that it makes me think of directly the most is, like, It Takes Two. Where you, like, you can only play it with another person, and you have to, you know, work together and be able to give instructions and based on what you see so that you can feed stuff back and forth. The one that we played, it was We Were Here Expeditions, and it was just called The Friendship. That's just the one that she had. And honestly, it was like an hour and a half long game. It cost $2. It does make me want to play something like It Takes Two, because, you know, just that playing with other people and needing to, like, actually interact and all that, as opposed to kind of mindlessly doing things with some games.
Yeah, it looks like it's been a series started back in 2017. There's, like, multiple different versions of it.
Yeah, I think there's, like, a full version that I don't know if it's on sale or if just, like, it costs, like, $18 or something. We got through the Expeditions, the Friendship one, and it was just... It's something that could happen, but it just, like, in the moment wasn't worth doing. But, and then, lastly, I got... Somehow, I'm actually upset that I did. I got talked into buying Call of Duty for zombies.
And thank you for listening, everybody, because Ven's gone off the reservation.
I'm really, like, I'm genuinely upset at the purchase and what zombies is, because it's been a long time since I've played, like, a Call of Duty Zombies. I think the last one I played was whatever, like, one or two games after, like, World at War, like the original Nazi Zombies. And now it's, like, full open world, which I don't mind. And, you know, you go around and there are certain places where if you don't have the weapons for it, you're not going to be able to either, one, kill the zombies, but they're also stronger, so you take more damage, stuff like that. But you have a time limit, and what I don't like is that it's almost like an extraction kind of thing, and I really don't like that for something like zombies.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really dumb. And there's contracts and stuff that you can pick up and do, so you can get XP, you can get certain weapons to drop, and as you play a little bit longer, you can earn better weapons. And then, you know, you die and you lose everything, and there's no way to go, like, back in and pick your stuff that you'd lost back up, so if it's gone, it's gone. Which, I mean, I just don't like the extraction part of it, and the fact that you can play, I think at most it's like 45 minutes.
before like you full on have to leave and extract, and I don't like that at all.
That definitely does not sound like something I would enjoy.
Well, and it makes me think of I think it was the last Call of Duty when they added I think it was called DMZ, where it was like their Call of Duty's version of like Tarkov and, you know, PvEvP, where you'd have to kill, you know, NPCs, and then when you extract, there's a chance that you can get killed by actual players, or just like anywhere you can get killed by actual players. And it just makes me wonder if that was successful enough to like warrant the need for an extraction zombies. I just don't like it for what it is, honestly, but I don't know. It was not a worthwhile purchase, and I'm really upset.
I thought the zombies mode kind of jumped the you were playing as presidents. Remember that one?
No.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there was a zombie mode where you could play as like the like former presidents like Kennedy and all that stuff. It was just
oh my god, what?
I'm having
goofy.
Like a fever dream or something.
Like... Part of me hopes you are, but at the same time that sounds really on point for what Call of Duty does anymore. And then a new season of Diablo starts this coming week, so I'll probably jump into that.
No, I'm not like delusional.
That's real life?
That happened. what Call of Duty? I think it happens in Black Ops. Either Black Ops or Black Ops 3. Because mm-hmm. that would make sense as to why you would play as presidents, because Black Ops is involving, like, you know, the invasion of Cuba.
Oh, sure.
The Cuban Missile Crisis, so yeah. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
That's wild.
After finishing a single-player mode, special zombie mode of the game is unlocked. You're summoned to a secret Pentagon meeting featuring John F. Kennedy, Richard Nixon, Defense Secretary Robert McNamara, and Cuban President Fidel Castro.
Holy Christ.
it's a secret stage. I was not, like, going crazy. But it's like, killing zombies is Nixon and JFK? The fuck is this?
What the hell?
What is real life anymore?
No kidding.
The best part is, you know, there's going to be people that played that game that are so young that have no clue who most of those people are.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So it makes no sense to them. All right. Well, I can hear my gremlin of a dog outside my door. She apparently needs to be let out, so I think it's going to be right now.
Yeah, that's right. We honestly went a little longer than I thought we were going to, but...
Yeah, that's fine. Fine.
Good chats. It was fun. Yeah. Today was fun.
Yeah, it was a good time. We'll be back next week, obviously, because we have Destiny stuff to talk about. Probably some different games we played. I'm just kind of going into my backlog and picking stuff up here and there and giving it a shot. Fingers crossed that, obviously, I know I'm going to like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed that in February... The Elden Ring DLC, Shadows of the Erdtree, comes out.
Oh, sure. I didn't know that they were making DLC.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was announced over a year ago with no release date. And then some companies that do like controllers that are branded and stuff like that released a presser accidentally that said, all this stuff for Shadows of the Erdtree will be coming out in February when the game launches, and then that immediately was taken down.
Oh, wow. God damn.
FromSoft didn't say anything about it yet. So I'm hoping that the date didn't get changed. I really would like to play it. But yeah, we have stuff to talk about next week. So good times. If you like what you hear, and you're over on Spotify for podcasts, give us a like. Hidden Grenade Podcast. We appreciate everybody, and regardless of what platform you listen to us on, just thank you very much. And
yes, thank you.
Be well, everybody. Take care, and bye-bye now.
Thanks for listening. Okay, bye.